for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 24th, 1991. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Walter Fletcher and Tommy Cook are the ministers on this tape.
Well, it's a privilege this evening to have all of you here. If you weren't here, it'd be kind of a lonesome place. We're glad you're here, and we're glad to have the Fletchers with us this evening and the rest of the week. I'm going to ask Brother Walter Fletcher to come and greet us and speak to us for a few minutes, whatever the Lord might give him, and then we'll be hearing from him again a couple more times before this week is out. And we met him down in Fort Worth, Texas at Brother Bill Smith's, and we appreciated his ministry, and we invite him to come up and be with us this weekend. Brother Fletcher.
Glory to God. It's a real joy to be here with you. We appreciate not having to make a place. We just sensed the flow of the Lord and felt like we just knew that we were part of what God was doing here already. As a matter of fact, we have not only watched, prayed, and even ordered materials and things from Brother Glenn and Sister Irma and them for some time, and just was a real providential, I felt, linking up there of the Lord. My wife and I have been involved in ministry for 15 years or better, and during all that time, God had promised that He would thrust us out into the body. He would make us ambassadors of encouragement to the body of Christ, that He would take us to people after people, nation after nation, and it hasn't been anything calculated on our part. Isn't that wonderful to know that you're in the flow of what God's doing? And just so appreciate the word this morning, and I'm not going to take much time because I really want to hear Brother again tonight. Just really felt again God just had knit our hearts before we'd come together. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe God's up to something good?
Amen.
Amen. As He can't help but be that way. That's the kind of God we serve. And if we can ever get the revelation, how many of you have read the end of the book? Amen. We win in the end. Amen. We've got some inside information. That's the way our God is. I was just musing and enjoying the flow of the Spirit during this morning's proceedings, as well as the ministry during the afternoon. And boy, that was just powerful and refreshing, and just really look forward to the rest of the time. But there was a passage of Scripture that kept running through my mind, and I just want to look at it with you briefly, and we'll turn over to Brother Tommy. If you go with me to 1 Chronicles and the 4th chapter, we're always interested in, as God's people, having an ear to hear what God is saying. I heard one brother say the other day, God isn't saying as much as people say He is saying. But He's saying a lot more than we want to hear. How do you believe that?
Amen.
First Chronicles and the 4th chapter. I want to talk to you about somebody that I don't know if you've ever noticed in your Bible. Because normally when we come to the book of Chronicles, if we read them at all, amen, we generally run over the begats and we forget who begat. And somebody said a real test of the anointing is to try to pronounce all the names. But right in the midst of all of these names, there is a great man of faith in my thinking. I believe it just really flows with what God was saying all during the day to us. His name is Jabez, and we find him here in verse 9 and 10 of 1 Chronicles 4. And let me just read it and make just a few comments, and then I'll be seated. And it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that thy hand would be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested.
Amen.
Jabez is one of the most delightful figures in all of the Bible. I believe he's a real man of faith, though he did make the Hall of Faith there in Hebrews 11. How many of you know the Hall of Faith won't always make us famous? It isn't the Hall of Fame, it's the Hall of Faith, right? As we call it. Aren't you glad there's no amen there? You can put your name there. Amen? How many of you know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? And we find this so true in Jabez's life. I really believe that he represents many who are represented here, but I believe he represents even thousands in the body of Christ today who turn defeat into victory.
Hallelujah.
Who change their circumstances around to where they're no longer the vanquished, but the victors. You can't be an overcomer unless you come over from something. And this man, he really had a fight on his hand.
Amen.
Maybe one of the reasons he wasn't named in the, as we call it, the Hall of Faith, because there's no represented external exploits in his life. You know, most of the men and women we have there in Hebrews 11, there was some external exploit that kind of set them apart. But there's no external exploit in Jabez's life, but I believe he was a greater man of faith because there was an internal exploit in his life that made him the man that we have recorded here. Jabez, well, his background, he really didn't have anything to commend him as far as his background. He actually was born in a situation that seems as though he was unloved. For when he was born, his mother named him Jabez. She says, because I have borne him in pain. His name actually means sorrow or distress. Now, you are aware that in the Hebrew culture that the mothers and the parents named their children for the potential or the character traits that they saw in their life. What mother in their right mind would name a child painful or sorrowful or one who's called me distressed? I read even of Moses that his parents saw that he was a proper child. One translation said that they saw that he was a proper and upright child. They had the ability as parents to see the invisible. Listen to me, parents. And some of you who have grown up in this situation, I really want to say something to you tonight. Moses became the great leader he was because of the great influence his parents had on his life, even though he was brought up in Pharaoh's household. That's a subject in itself. But they saw the potential in the child. They saw what was not, as it were, to the visible eyes. And they called those things that were not as though they were. We have the reverse situation here of Jabez's mother. She doesn't call him according to all the hopes and the potential in his life. She called him something of a disgrace. Here's one who's caused me sorrow and pain. I don't know if I like to use my imagination, if they had a little school in the village and all the little children came together to be instructed. You can imagine the children having to, particularly those, the boys would have had to stand up and the first day of school, and the children would have had to have given their name. And you can imagine everybody, I don't know if they'd have sat in a circle or something, but each one taking their turn. This one stands up and says, my name is Samuel. My name is Daniel. Other one stands up, my name is Joseph. My name is Samson. And around the room they go, and each one of them thinking, my, yeah, that's that great deliverer. That's that great warrior, great hero of faith. And you see this little fellow slinking somewhere in the back because his name is Jabez, one who causes sorrow and pain. I don't know how long he had to live with this albatross around his neck because name equal nature. And it did something, I believe, to his own heart and his spirit until one day he got a hold of his God. One day he determined that my life doesn't have to end in the fizzle of a failure. I am not an accident going somewhere to happen. But God has purposes for me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Even God told Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I have toward thee, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I have a future and a hope for you to bring you to an expected end. I want to bless you. And somehow Jabez got a hold of his God. I don't know him. Perhaps he worked in a carpenter shop, I believe, one day. If I might use my imagination, he took his little carpenter tools and hung them there on the side of a wall and put a sign up, said, closed. And somehow he got himself shut away and had it out with his God. He wanted God to do something for him. He knew that his lot in life was not to be a failure, wasn't to be one who was a defeated, painful, distressing. Are you out there? Are you hear what I'm saying, saints? Sometimes we have things that come in our life like albatrosses around our neck. And if we believe the lie, it will belie the truth about you. I hope to share a little bit more about that at a future time. But Jabez said, I believe God has a destiny and a purpose for me. I don't believe I'm an accident going somewhere to happen. I don't believe it was happenstance that brought me into the world. I believe it was a happenstance that brought me into the world. It was God's purpose for my life. And it doesn't just merely say that he called on God, but I want you to see that he called on the God of Israel, the covenant-keeping God, the covenant-making God, the one who says, I am, not just I will be, or I was, but I am. Matter of fact, somebody gave me something some time ago, and I keep it in my Bible. Let me just read it. I think it's appropriate here. It says, I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am. I believe that Jabez got a revelation of the I Am God. You see, all God wanted even of Jacob when he wrestled, and God changed his name from Jacob, the conniver, the supplanter, the deceiver, the liar. All the angel wanted in all of that wrestling was a confession from his mouth. What's your name? What's your name? And when he finally could get out of it that his name was Jacob, you got a name change. Hello?
Amen.
Sometime, beloved, all God's looking for is honesty. We've heard that today.
Yes.
What's your name? He's a God that says, I am. I've come to do something about it. Five things Jabez does when he gets a hold of this God of the covenant, this covenant God, this covenant transforming God. First of all, and there are five things I just would love to take more time, but I'm just going to be brief. First of all, he said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. You see, when he got a revelation of the God in whom he served and who his God was and the covenant that he had with this God, he recognized that way back this God of Israel was the God of Abraham, the one who told Abraham, in blessing you, you're going to be a blessing. You're not going to be a curse. Oh, I'll curse those that curse you, but my intention is to make you a blessing in all the earth. And he takes that promise. Do you know what it means by the call here when he called on the God of Israel? The original means actually, it implies three things Jabez did. I want you to write them down. Three things in this call. Number one, it means he called on the God of Israel. Number two, it means he proclaimed something. Number three, it means he read something. He called, he proclaimed, he read. Interesting that the Hebrew would bring that out. I want you to see how this man changed circumstance, changed from his night of nights coming out into the light of day. It wasn't just a one time, oh God, if you want to do something about my circumstances, you can help me. But he got a hold of his God and he wouldn't let go. Not only did he call upon the name of the Lord, there's persistency, but he proclaimed what he believed God would do for him. You see, even God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy, not just heart, out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate in those things day and night. Then will I make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. So he didn't just call upon the name of the Lord. He began to proclaim what he believed God was going to do. And then he read. I believe he read the promises of God. I believe he got a hold of God and recognized that all the promises of God are yes. But I have to add amen to it. I have to say like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. I believed until God did that for which he was believing. He read the promises of God. He meditated on it. He put his name there. He said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. And we've got to take that attitude that we serve a God of blessing. He recognized that even, if you please, pre-incarnate, before Christ became a curse for us. How do you know? He became a curse that we might be partakers of the blessing of Abraham. And beloved, today, as I said, you're not an accident going somewhere to happen. If Christ became a curse for you, you're not under the curse. You're under the blessing. He said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Second thing he says, and that thou would enlarge my border. He wanted an enlargement. He wasn't satisfied with status quo in his life. He wasn't satisfied with the straight place or the narrow place that circumstance had might have put him in. But he said, oh, that thou would enlarge my border. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. If you want an enlargement, David says, when I was in distress, thou didst enlarge me. You see, enlargement often comes out of distressing times. And many of you feel like you're in the pressure cooker of life. And I want you to understand that it's in those times. David didn't say when he went out and Saul asked for 100 foreskins of the Philistine and he came back with 200, God enlarged him. David didn't say when he fought the giant that God enlarged him. He said, when I was in distress, thou didst enlarge me. And we need to see, beloved, today that if you're in a place where it seems like pressures are all round about you, that is the place that God will make you a larger vessel for his use and for his glory. But Isaiah 54, somewhere around there, he gives us the little key if you want an enlargement. He says, sing, O barren, sing, thou who did not bring forth, break forth into singing. For more are the children of the desolate woman than her that is married. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, get ready. And the real principle here is of faith. It takes more faith to sing before the baby comes than after it's born. Hello. You've got to maintain the attitude of a worshiper. I'm going to sing and I'm going to declare with my mouth all the promises of God. And I'm going to rehearse what God's going to do for me. It takes more faith to sing before the baby comes than after it's born. Thirdly, he said, oh, that thy hand not just might be on me, but might be with me. Please notice the distinction. How many of you know that from time to time under the old covenant, the hand of God came upon people to do certain things? But he wasn't just asking for a momentary deliverance. He wanted to know that in now all of his future endeavors, that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the covenant-keeping God, would not just let his hand be on him, but be with him. And the hand, of course, it speaks of many things. But in this regard, I believe he was referring to God's power and God's presence. For where the hand of the Lord is, there is God's power revealed and God's presence revealed. I believe he was saying unto God, I want open heavens. I want you to be with me in my endeavors. And like Moses, Lord, I know you're going to lead us in. I know you promised that the angel's going to go with us. But that's not good enough. He said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go up with us, don't send us up here. I believe, beloved, it's an hour where we need to have that type of bulldog determination before God. God, if you want me to be a part of what you're doing, if you want me to go forward in you, if you're asking me to do this, then God, I ask but one thing, that your hand will be with me, that your presence and power will accompany me, for how else will people know that you've sent me? And we need to have that type of determination. And recognize that we serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according. See, we like to stop there. According to the power that's at work in us. Amen. I want you to know that God's working mightily in each and every one of us in this hour. And Christ in us is the hope of glory, but you in Christ is the glory.
Hallelujah.
He said, oh, that thou would keep me from harm. I believe he was asking God, now, Lord, I want your blessing, you see. Because his name was sorrowful. He recognized that the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And it adds no sorrow with it. Now, you can be blessed in a variety of ways. And I've seen people, and you have too, who've been blessed in a variety of ways. Houses, cars, and things, and gadgets. Things that take their heart away from God, though. You see that they can be blessed in such a way. How many of you recognize, Sister Irma read it this morning, God didn't say, seek my hand. He said, if my people seek my face. And we have a whole theology that's going around showing how we can get God's hand open. Come on. How many of you believe that where his face is, his hand's always extended? Amen? And we need to know the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich and enriches us in the power of the Spirit. And anything God wants to lay on us, we want it to be the blessing of the Lord. Not any program that we've contrived how God can help us or we can help God. Amen? Because the blessing of the Lord adds no sorrow with it. Jabez's name meant sorrow. And then lastly, he said, oh, that it might not pain me. You know what he was asking for there? He'd already said, God, I don't want it to harm me. I don't want this blessing to harm me. But I really believe that he was asking of the Lord, I want a name change. That it might not pain me. I've lived all my life under pain and distress and sorrow. This sense of rejection, this sense of defeat and failure. God, I want you to do something for me. I want you to give me a name change. How many of you know that Revelation 2:17 promised to him that overcometh? Not only will I give hidden manna. This man was given a revelation. The promises of God were becoming sweet to him. Not only that, but it says to him that overcometh will I give a new name. I'm going to write it on a white stone. And this is the thing that's interesting. Only he to whom I write that name will know what it means. Hello? And beloved, God knows the pain and the distress and the heartache and the things that have come, maybe through circumstances that you had nothing to do with, maybe by choices past, and now you regret. And you want to live under the Jabez syndrome. I want you to see God isn't calling you under the Jabez syndrome tonight. He's calling you unto the Jesus victory tonight. Amen? And you can experience the blessing of the Lord, even as this man did. God will change your name, because when he changes your name, it indicates he changes your character. He changes you from the inside out. And here's the marvelous thing, and I close. And God granted him what he requested. He didn't get some of it. He got it all. God granted him what he requested. Do you know what you want in God? There's the chances are if you don't know what you want in God, you're bound to get it. Hello? I shot an arrow into the air. Where it landed, I knew not where. Amen? You've got to know what you're after in God. Paul did. He said, I've not yet arrived. I want to apprehend what I've been apprehended for. And even though I've built churches and suffered much, and signs and wonders and miracles and power have worked through my life, there's something out there in God. I want that. And I'm not going to be satisfied until I can reach up and apprehend what I have been laid a hold of in God for. And the real danger for all of us is that we can do a lifetime of successful ministry, hear me, and never touch the thing that God's touched you for. And Paul said, I want to touch that. I want to apprehend it. And he knew God wouldn't get it for him, but he knew the hand that had reached down and apprehended his life would lift him up to lay a hold of that which he saw in the Spirit for him. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. That's a blessing, brother. I enjoyed that. Praise the Lord. And you know, in that whole genealogy, it was the only one he really talked to was Jabez there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Stretch yourself a minute. Amen? Hallelujah. Reach your hands out to us as we minister tonight. Would you, and pray for us? Lord God, we submit to your authority tonight. Again, we are nothing in ourselves, but we submit to you, and we ask the Holy Spirit to minister through us, Lord. Hallelujah. Anoint us, God. Quicken us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we give you honor and we give you praise in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God love you. Praise the Lord. Let's turn tonight to Genesis chapter 35, I believe it is, or something like that. 35, somewhere in that vicinity. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 35. And it's in verses 16. Speaking of Jacob, and they journeyed from Bethel, from the house of God. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. How many know Jesus was born in Bethlehem? And here's another child being born in Bethlehem. And Rachel, she's one of the seven women that are barren in the Bible. How many know Sarah was barren? Rachel was barren. Rebecca was barren. Samson's mother was barren. Hannah was barren. Elizabeth was barren. And the church is barren. And the church has brought forth Ishmael, but it's time to bring forth an Isaac. Amen. The son of promise. Can you say amen? And so it says, and Rachel travailed. Rachel is a picture of the church. I mean, for the church to bring forth, it's going to take some hard travail. Are you hearing me? I'm not talking about, our works per se, but that intercession that's going to be wrought through you and me. And she had hard labor. Prayer is work, though. Amen? And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife... Now, the midwife is a picture of the cutting away of the flesh. And how many know God knows how to do that? Hallelujah. Now, notice there's a midwife ministry here, ministering to this one that's about to have a child. Praise the Lord. And you'll notice that it is a prophetic ministry here. And this midwife said to her, to Rachel, fear not. We all need to hear that sometime. Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. Which meant she had another son before. And his name was, come on, help me, Joseph, which means to addition or to continue a thing. And so now she's having the next son, Benjamin. Praise the Lord. That meant every time the name of Joseph was spoken, it was a sign that there would be another son, because God promised her that. Can you say amen? And how many know every time the name of Jesus is spoken, it is also a sign there will be another son in his image and in his likeness coming forth, a many-membered son. How many know that's Bible? But how many know he is the exalted one? He is the one that we look to and praise tonight. Can you say amen? But he is going to bring forth a son in his likeness and in his image. Verse 18, it came to pass as her soul was in departing, she died. We've got to lose our life to gain his. And she called his name Benoni, which means the son of sorrow. The son of sorrow. But Jacob, the father, called him Benjamin, which is the son of the right hand. God is going to bring forth in this hour the son of the right hand. Amen. The sons of God. Can you say amen? The overcomer. Because as we overcome, we're going to be permitted to sit down in the throne with him. Amen. As he sat down with his father. How many believe that tonight? Now let's look at something here. Look with me now in Luke. Turn to Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel. Chapter 1. And I want to look at verses. Look in chapter 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. How many know that was Jesus? Now, the angel spoke the word to Mary. Mary believed the word the angel spoke. Elizabeth confirmed the word that God spoke, but it was the Lord who also himself performed the word. Hallelujah. And so she's saying to Mary, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now turn to Romans 7. God's after some fruit. And verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead. How many know his name is Jesus? That we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, I'm not just talking about the nature of Christ within us, which we know that's got to happen. I'm not just talking about soul winning, but we know that's got to happen. All that's part of it. But how many know there's some real fruit God's looking for tonight? Huh? Yeah. Now, look in Isaiah 4. Look in Isaiah 4. Thank God for the nature of Christ and the character of Jesus. Amen? In Isaiah 4, verse 1. Now, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. So don't take that in the natural, because he's not talking in the natural. How many know there's seven women in Revelation? Come on now. Seven women's going to take, it speaks of the religious world, if I can just use that phrase, of the church world, whatever. Shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and will wear our own apparel. How many know that's rebellion? Only let us be called by your name to take away something. We want to be a Christian, but we want our bread. We want to wear what we want to, which is unrighteousness. And in that day shall the branch of the Lord, the branch of the Lord, he's the vine, we're the branches, be beautiful and glorious, and what? The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Now, what are we going to escape? Is it a rapture? We're going to fly out here in a minute? Huh? No, we're going to escape verse 1. We're not going to be in that crowd in verse 1 who says we want to eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. I mean, will that be a switch? Come on now, don't shout me down. You're getting quiet on me out there. Hallelujah. I said in this verse, the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that escaped of Israel. And we must escape, verse 1. We must not be in that crowd who wants to eat their own bread and wear what they want to wear. How many know we need his bread and we need his covering, his righteousness? Amen? Now, so that's fruit. Now turn to Isaiah also, chapter 26. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, so hang with me. I mean, a teacher is to teach the word. A teacher is one who interprets scripture with scripture and he makes sense. Or somebody said a teacher is a mind engraver and he wants to make dents in your thick heads. Whatever. We all got thick heads, don't we? Isaiah 26. Look at verse 17. Like as a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in pains. You ladies know what that is. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Which means we've been in pain. We've been with child. We've been in pain. We, as it were, brought forth wind. How many know that's hot air? We brought forth a lot of that, haven't we? But how many know God may bust our balloon? Amen. We have not wrought any... Look at this. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. But how many know when the woman is truly pregnant with the man child and God brings forth that fruit, how many know there's going to be some real deliverance as well? Because deliverance shall come upon Mount Zion, hallelujah, and they're going to judge the house of Esau, which is the flesh. Can you say amen? And God says, brethren, here in this scripture, through the prophet, we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. How many know the world system is crumbling and it's yet going to crumble? It's going to fall. Amen? Hallelujah. Now look in chapter 27. He said, in that day the Lord with a sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. How many know that's humanity? He's in humanity. Then in verse 6, he shall cause them that come of Jacob, that's natural Israel, I would think, to take root. And then Israel, the church, shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with what? Fruit. How many know God wants some fruit? Now turn to Micah. Turn to Micah. Thank you, Jesus. Micah. In chapter 5. Now this is a little tricky, but I'm going to interpret the way I see it. Chapter 5 and verse 3. Therefore. And when you got a therefore, you got to know what it's there for, right? Therefore will he, the Lord, give them natural Israel up until, time word, the time that she, the church, which what? Travaileth, hath brought forth. God has given a people up until she travails, the church. Well, how many know the church must start travailing? The real church. Then, after the travail, and she's brought forth, the remnant
of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, which is the church. God has a remnant
that's going to come in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But the church has got to bring forth fruit, and she's got to travail.
Now, turn to Isaiah 37. 37. And verse 3. Isaiah 37 and verse 3. Thank you, Lord. And they said to him, well, the last part of it, last part, for the children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. It's going to take some real travail to bring forth the children. Can you say amen? Turn to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. And look in verse 7. Now, I see two things here. Let me know, Mary brought forth Jesus, the Son of God. God had put the seed in her womb, and she was a vessel that God used. And in verse 7, before she travailed, I think it speaks of Mary and Jesus here in this verse. That's the way I look at it. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Now, she brought forth the Son of God, a natural birth, natural child. And before her pain came, she was delivered, come on, of what? A man-child. Now, look at verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing, who hath seen such things, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion did something. Now, here's a travail. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. I mean, oh, there's some pain. God said, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God. God is going to bring forth the fruit in his time. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, oh, Jesus came at a particular time. And the sons of God will be birthed and born, the fullness of it, I mean, at a particular time. Amen? Praise God. Now turn to one other scripture in the New Testament real quick. James 5. James 5. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. And look at verse verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming, that the word is parousia, the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit. Now, brothers and sisters, think about it tonight. I want to get up and preach on the fruit. Preach on the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. How many know it's going to be two harvests? Actually, you got the barley harvest, wheat harvest, and you got gleanings too. How many know the word barley means long hair? How many know Jesus fed 5,000 and 4,000? Remember that? And he had, when he fed the 5,000, he had how many loaves left? I mean, how many baskets left over? 12 baskets. How many apostles are there? 12. But you know those baskets mean the Greek. You go back to the Greek. It literally means little wicker basket, little basket. Then he fed 4,000, and he had how many baskets left over? Seven baskets left over. Amen. Now you go to the Greek and you see they're big baskets. In fact, it's the word where they let Paul down over the wall in a basket. So what does that tell me? That shows me in those two cities, there is a little baskets and there's big baskets. There's a remnant, come on now, small group, and there's a big group. Hallelujah. And the barley harvest always represents first fruits, the remnant, and the wheat harvest represents the greater harvest. But the greater harvest can't take place till the sons of God or the barley harvest has been raised up, first fruits. I mean, oh, anytime you plant a crop, you've got first fruits always. That which matures or ripens first. Can you say amen? Oh, there's so much to that. Well, let's look at it.
Praise the Lord. Look in 2 Kings. We're still on the same subject. We hadn't left it. 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4.
Look at I want to come down into verse here a little bit. Look down in verse 38. We're going to come down a few verses here. It wasn't my desire to get up and preach tonight. But how many know you got to be instant in season and out of season? Come on. He never told me I'd always feel like it. But praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm up here now. 2 Kings 4:38. Elisha came again to Gilgal. Gilgal means going in circles. How many know we've all done it? There was a dearth or famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. Now here's men of revelation sitting before Elisha, the prophet, man of God. Thank God.
Thank God for men of God who are prophets and apostles and so forth. Amen? He says, sit on the great pot. Sit on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. Notice it's a great pot. But how many know there's a big mixture in the pot today? You better be careful, because some of the food you eat is going to kill you if you're not careful. You and I are what we eat. Can you say amen? Whether in the natural or in the spirit. And so they're going to sit on a big pot. They're going to put everything in it. And it says here, notice, seed pottage for the sons of the prophets. So you got the pot, you got the pottage, and you got the prophets. And how many know in a minute you're going to see some power demonstrated? Praise the Lord. And I could go on with some other P's here. Verse 39. And one went out into the field. Now the field, that was a natural field, but how many know the field's the world? Come on now, the lusty eye, lust, flesh, and pride of life. How many know a lot of that's in the pot tonight? And it says here, they went out in the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. I mean, no, wildness speaks of rebellion. Ishmael was a wild man. Actually, a wild ass is what it means. And gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and spread them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. Now, notice this. And it came to pass, as they were eating in the pottage, that they cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there's death in this pot. Somebody discerned death. And they could not eat thereof. What did the prophet do? He said, bring the meal. What's the meal a picture of? The Word of God. How many know the Word of God will cure any kind of poison in the pot? Are you hearing me? And throw it into the pot. The Bible said there was no harm in the pot. Now look at verse 42. Now here comes a man with something. It's first fruits. And before we get the first fruits, the devil's trying to kill every one of us, isn't it? Come on now, don't shout me down. Hallelujah. There came a man from Baal Sheoshai and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. And you'll notice 20 loaves of what? Barley. Now I want to go back to the feeding of the 5,000 men. How many know that was barley bread? When he fed the 5,000, John 6 said it was barley bread. It was a barley loaf that tumbled into the camp of Midian. Amen? And the man interpreted it was Gideon and the sword of the Lord that was coming in there to destroy the Midianites. How many believe God's raising up a loaf of bread? Hallelujah. Huh? Bible said we're one bread, we're one loaf. Come on now. Amen. Now it says here, he brought the man of God bread of first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn, not the blade, not the ear, but full ears of corn in the husk, which means it's hidden. It's got to be uncovered. And it says, notice, give to the people that they may eat. You give it out, they'll eat it. Trouble is, a lot of them aren't giving it out. Come on now, don't shout me down. And his servitor said, what should I set before? How many? I mean, you got a 30-fold, come on, 60-fold, you got a 100-fold. Now, there's 100 men here. That's no accident, is it? Barley is 100-fold. And he said, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat, and they shall leave thereof. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So he spread it out, didn't he? Praise God. Look in Exodus 9. Exodus 9. Hallelujah. Exodus 9, verse 31. Now, let me show you the difference between barley and wheat right here. It was actually planted about the same time. And the flax and the barley was smitten. This is the time of judgment in Moses' day. For the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bowl, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. You see that? The barley's out ahead of the wheat, isn't it? Everybody see that? So that shows you barley has to be first fruits. It's out in front. Now, what does that mean? It simply means this. Turn to Revelation 14. Hallelujah. And in Revelation 14, we're talking about the sons of God. That's redeemed from the earth. Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with the harlot church or the harlot system, women. For they are virgins, they're wise virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men being something. being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That's barley. Now let me show you the wheat. Look down to verse 14. Here's the wheat now. It didn't say that, but that's what it is. Verse 14. And I looked and beheld a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest, come on now, of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. That's the wheat harvest. That's the general harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Now turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Joel chapter 2. I can't even find it. Thanks. After what? Before Amos? Yeah, there you go. Okay, chapter 2. Now we got to see something here. I mean, believe there's coming an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But let's see where it comes first. Look at verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Children of who?
Zion.
He didn't say right here Israel or Jerusalem. He said Zion. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain. Come on. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Amen. He's talking to Zion. Then he says in verse 25, he's going to restore what the locusts, come on, the cankerworm, caterpillar, palmer worms destroyed. Then if you'll notice in verse 28, after he has talked about Zion, it's going to come to pass afterward, he's going to pour out his spirit upon who? All flesh. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy and so forth. Now I want to show you when this is going to happen. And I got a lot of my Bible chewed out here. It looked like a dog got a hold of it. In verse 30, I worked with a guy one time that showed his dog how to eat, and he actually bit part of his ear off. Just like that right there. Verse 30, notice, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire. What else? Pillars of smoke. When this outpouring comes, judgment will be in the earth. But it's coming to Zion first. Now turn to 1 Kings 18. Hallelujah. How many want to move up into Zion? 1 Kings 18. Thank you, Lord. And Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now that we know that was a natural rain. And we know that Elijah sent his servant up to the top of the mount to see if he could see a cloud. And he put his face between his knees. And as he went up, it said, go up, verse 43, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked, and behold, there is nothing. How many's ever looked and saw nothing? Many a time. And he said, come on, don't shout me down. And he said, go seven times. Again, seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud. A little cloud. How many know he's got a little cloud? Remnant. Come on now. Out of the sea, out of humanity, this cloud represents the glory of God. Like a man's hand. He's got a hand ministry. He said, go up and say, Ahab, prepare your chariot, get thee down, unless the rain stops. How many know the rain came? But when did the rain come? It come only when he saw the little cloud rising up first. Without the little cloud, there'll be no abundance of rain. Without the rain, there'll be no harvest. Can you say amen? Praise God. Turn to Micah again. Micah, praise you, Lord. Micah 7. I think it is. I'm having a hard time finding these books tonight. Micah 7. The last part of it. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. What does our soul desire tonight? My soul desired the first ripe. Hallelujah. I could show you many places in the Bible where you got barley and where you got wheat. And I'm going to show you another. Revelation 12. Let's turn there. Praise you, Jesus. How many want to see God bring forth the fruit in the earth? How many want to see the first fruits being raised up first? Well, how many know there's a price to pay? In chapter 12, I want to tell you something right here. Listen to what I'm going to say. There's a church standing on the church, pregnant with the church. There's a church standing on the church, pregnant with the church. Now in chapter 12, look at verse 5. She, the woman, the church, not at natural Israel. I used to teach it that way, but it's not natural Israel. How many know it's the real Israel of God? She brought forth a man-child who was to rule or shepherd all nations. Notice, not with a shepherd's staff, but a rod of iron. How many know that's real authority? But how many know we're not going to beat people over the head? And her child, come on, was caught up to God and to his throne. Next verse. Verse 5 is the barley harvest. Verse 6, here's the wheat harvest. The woman fled where? Into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 days. Hallelujah. Now, I said there's a price to pay. Now, come back to verse 3. We see there's a great red dragon in the same heaven where the woman is, which shows me this heaven is an imperfect heaven. And you know where the dragon is, you're going to have imperfection. Huh? And it said in verse 4 that he had a tail. I touched on it this morning. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth, from the heavens to the earth, from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm. And the dragon stood before the woman that was ready to be delivered to devour her child, or actually eat up her child as soon as it was born. But how many know God takes him to the throne, catches him to the throne? Praise the Lord. But how many know tonight the stars are fallen? God said that to me years ago. I walked in this place and he actually spoke that to me. He said, the stars are fallen. Now turn to Daniel 8. The stars are fallen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want any woman in here that's got female problems, or anyone in the area of the pelvic, I want you to stand. Let me pray for you right now. Any female problems or any pelvic area, in the pelvic area, let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask you to touch these people right now, Lord. I come against that condition in their bodies right now, and I loose them in Jesus' name. And I speak healing and health and divine strength to flow into their pelvic area, into that female area, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Amen. In Daniel chapter 8, look at verse 10. Here we're dealing with a little horn. And there's so much in chapter 8 that I wouldn't even attempt to go into, but I love to teach it. Verse 10. This little horn, it said, waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it did cast some of the host and of the stars to the ground. Notice, this little horn cast some of the stars to the ground. If some of those natural stars ever hit this earth, there wouldn't be anything left, would there? And so these stars are not natural stars that twinkle, twinkle, twinkle. These are people that have lived in the heavenlies with the Lord. And these stars are coming down at the end of the age. And how many know we better pray that we don't fall? We know the righteous stumble, it said, 7 times, but he gets back up. We know there's backsliders that the Lord's married to, but there's also those who apostatize and who will not turn back to God, who will go totally from God. The word is more than falling away. It means to forsake. It means rebellion, the revolt, a divorcement, a writing of divorcement. One's going one way, one another. I want to tell you, brethren, the stars are falling. We better pray for mercy for others, and we better pray mercy for ourselves. Now, it said here he did something. He cast the stars to the ground. Then you notice in verse 11, he said the place of the sanctuary was cast down. How many's got a marginal reference? Well, I'll get on that in just a minute. Then in verse 12, it says that he cast down truth to the ground. Everybody see that? The stars to the ground. The sanctuary was cast down. Verse 12, the truth is cast to the ground. And then in verse 13, the last part, the sanctuary and the host is to be trodden where? Underfoot. Got a revelation. I've got a marginal scripture there. Revelation 11:2. That's what it is. Let's look at it. Revelation 11:2. How many parts were there to the tabernacle? 3 parts. You had the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And John saw 1/3 of the stars fall to the ground. Verse 2. The court, which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. Now, in verse 1, there was something measured. I mean, no, we've got to come up to his measurement, which is the fullness, come on, of Christ. Can you say amen, brother? And we know we can't do that in ourselves. It's him in us doing that. Now,
In verse 2, he said, the court that's without the temple, leave it out and measure not, it's given to the heathen, the Gentiles, the nations, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot, come on, 42 months. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trodden under foot of man. How many's ever read that? Huh? That said the holy city. Isaiah 52. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 52, look at verse 1. Awake. Awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. That's the bride. How many know how the bride, the sons are coming? The holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust and sit down, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Holy city. That's what it was called. There's an outer court under feet, underfoot. Now when the man child is caught to the throne, I want to show you several things. I want to give you three other things right here. The man child is caught to the throne. Let me tell you when it's going to be. It's going to be at midnight. It's going to be in the darkest hour the world has ever seen, nor shall ever see. It's going to be an hour of judgment. It's going to be darkness for the world, but it's going to be light and life and power for those that attain to that realm. Hallelujah. How many know we've been walked on long enough? God's raising the people up that's going to defend themselves, if I can use that phrase. In the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is going to raise the people up. Praise the Lord. That's going to put the enemy underfoot. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many want to see that, brethren? Hallelujah. Amen. Every one of us do, don't we? Back in Revelation here, chapter 3, verse 3. He said, I will give power to my two martyrs, or my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. And notice they're clothed in sackcloth, which means they're not having a good time. They're in intercession. They're in mourning. They're in they're crying out to God. But they're in sackcloth. But here's what I want you to see. God said, I'm going to give them power. I'm going to give them authority. Hallelujah. Now, we have a measure of it, but how many know that more's coming on the way? Come on now, don't shout me down. And at midnight, God will come suddenly to His temple. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Just as He walked in that temple with that rope suddenly, and He cleaned it out. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost came suddenly at Pentecost. In this end time, He's going to come suddenly within His people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And they're not going to guess if they have the power. Brother, they're going to have the power of the living God. Amen. They're going to have the fullness of Christ in that hour. We have not come to that yet, but that seed is maturing and growing within us. Can you say amen? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm getting happy. Glory. I could shout. Maybe leap over this pulpit in a minute. Hallelujah. Glory. But God will give them power. Hallelujah. And they're going to prophesy. Let me tell you, there's coming some prophecies like we have never heard about the things of God. Can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And God said they're going to do it. Notice. 1,260 days, the same time, same length as the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going to see the ministry of the Lord once again in the earth. Amen. At the end of this age, can you say amen? God said, I'm going to give them power. That's when they're caught to the throne. That's what's going to happen. God's going to empower them with authority. And that they have not yet known. Amen. Turn to Matthew 25. We see it again right here. Praise God. Matthew 25. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 10. My, I could go into so many things in this whole thing. Let me tell you what happens, brethren. Some of us have locked souls. You know what that means? That means we shut the Holy Ghost out. We won't obey the Holy Ghost. But how many know at midnight there's going to be a people, hallelujah, it's got unlocked souls. Because when that birthing takes place, it's going to be, that soul's going to be truly saved and born again. Amen. Which means we'll have His mind, His will, His emotions, and His desires at midnight. It said in verse 10, and while they, the foolish, went to buy,
While they went to buy, you know the word buy there means redeem? While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. How many know Jesus is coming? But this coming is not in the air right here. This coming is in you. This is the marriage feast. Hallelujah. He's coming within before he comes without. Christ comes before Jesus. Christ comes in you. Jesus comes in the air. How many know Jesus is in us though? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't miss that. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now, you know why it's not as literal coming? Because the fools are out buying. It's the tribulation. It's the darkness coming upon the world. And they went. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. That's the marriage feast. And the door, come on, was shut. That means somebody's on the outside, somebody's on the inside. I'm not talking about a natural door, a spiritual door. Now look at Matthew 22 a minute. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 22. Oh, there's so much. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is talking about the wedding feast here. He's in verse 2. The kingdom is like a certain king that made a marriage or a marriage feast for his son. The king represents the father. How many know Jesus is the son? Sent for his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You know why? They're too busy. How many know people's too busy to seek the Lord today? But I'll tell you, when midnight comes, you better have the oil or you're going to be... Same with me. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. I mean, no, that's not mashed potatoes and green beans. Come on now. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are what? Ready. Now go back to 25 a minute. All things are ready. Back to 25:10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom come, and they that were ready went in with him. Let me tell you who those went in when, in verse 25, or verse 10 of chapter 25. They're the sons of the living God. First fruits, the barley harvest. That's who they are. Thank God. Now back in chapter 22. I'm getting excited tonight. If this message don't make you excited, you'll never get excited. Praise God. Now listen to what he says. He says here, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready to come to the marriage. All you have to do is come to the wedding. Everything is prepared. I've done it all, he says. The table is spread. Come and dine. But they made light of it. I went into all these words on a teaching that I have over the house, but I'm not going to go. They made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm. How many know you raise food on a farm? Well, how many know food can be our God? And you raise food in the earth. And how many know some of us are pretty carnal and earthly? Another to his what? His merchandise. And then over in Luke 14, if you read, another guy got married and couldn't come. You got fortune, you got food, and you got family ahead of God. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Notice that word city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Oh, what a word that. How many know to be worthy? It's overcoming. In the Lord now. In the Lord. Go you therefore in the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to this marriage or marriage feast. Those servants went out to the highways, gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. The wedding was furnished with guests, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He was Laodicea. I mean, the last church age needs a wedding garment. And I'm not talking about something you put on out here. How many know it's inner wedding garment? He said to him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, how many know if that was heaven, if this was actually heaven instead of the earth, he'd been thrown out of heaven. And God ain't gonna rapture nobody to heaven and throw him out. Come on now, don't shout me down. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him, come on, in the outer darkness there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but many are called and few are chosen. That wedding feast is going on right now, right here on the earth, between you and Jesus. And you can have all of Jesus you want. Have food, fortune, and family. And we thank God for food, we thank God for fortune, we thank God for family. Amen? But they're not to be ahead of God. Now turn to Luke chapter 11. Praise God. Luke 11. Look at verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend? How many know Jesus is our friend tonight? Proverbs, I think, chapter 28. And shall go to him, to that friend, when, brethren? Midnight. This is the hour of darkness, the hour of judgment, so forth. Remember, I mentioned that. How many know 1 minute passes towards the light as well? And say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. How many know it's going to take 3 loaves to take us through? Come on, Passover, Pentecost, tabernacle, spirit, soul, and body. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me. I have nothing to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Don't bother me. The door shut. That means somebody's on the inside of the door and somebody's knocking on the outside. Amen. But it's not just a natural door. And my children, and I'll guarantee if you'll trace this back, the children are the sons of God. I can show you from the Word. But I won't go into that tonight. My children are with me where? Not in bed with the harlot, not in bed with the world, but they're in bed with Jesus, which means they're in that place of rest and intimacy where He wants us to be at midnight. Behind the door. In bed with Him. He said, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Well, how many did he need? He needed 3. That means the door opens. Somebody gets some bread at midnight as well. Amen? Or thereby. Sometime. Praise the Lord. We need more of Jesus tonight, don't we? You and I need more of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he's bringing forth a first fruit. He's bringing forth his son. Hallelujah. But again, it said that the devil's tail drew the stars from heaven. Now, I want to give you a couple more scriptures. Turn to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. And coming down, I didn't realize I'd be preaching some of this tonight. I didn't plan it. I didn't plan this. I mean, I've taught these things here before, but I didn't plan it. I had other things I thought we'd teach, but the Holy Ghost directs. I mean, no, he's the teacher. He's the teacher. We just submit to him. Isaiah 9, look at verse 14. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he's the head. And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is what, brethren? He's the tail. The prophet who teaches lies is the tail. And what's the tail doing? It is drawing the stars down out of the heavenlies to the earth realm, the carnal realm. And he said, for the leaders of his people calls them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. It is death and destruction to God's people. How many's heart bleeds tonight for the people of God? Because you know there are people being deceived and duped and hurt tonight by false prophets. Now, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah 14. And I want to look at verse 14. Jeremiah 14, 14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. That's the tail ministry. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, which brings false hope. And a thing of naught, and the deceit, notice, of their heart. Brethren, that tail ministry is active against the people of God today. Can you say amen? It is witchcraft. It is divination. It brings false hope to God's people. And God said it is deceit of the heart. Now look in chapter 5 of Jeremiah. And I'm crying out against it. Thank you, Lord. And look at verse 30. Jeremiah said a wonderful, but that one word wonderful means an appalling. An appalling and a horrible things committed in the land. And here's what it is. The prophets prophesy falsely. That's the tale ministry. And the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? And we are in the end of the age. And that tale ministry is active. I'm going to tell you, at the time of the man shall be called to the throne, the stars are coming down. We don't want to be caught in those who fall. We want to be caught in those who are caught up to the throne. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, look in 2 Peter 2 a minute. I don't want to be caught in that group that fall. I don't want to fall. Hallelujah. I want to be in the center of God's will. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 4. I know people say over in Revelation 12 that was angels that fell. I know angels fell way back there with Satan. We know that. We know that happened. But I believe that scripture with all my heart in Revelation chapter 12 is speaking of the end of the age and the stars are saints of God, sons of God, saints of God that fall out of the heavenlies into the earth. Now, he said here in verse 4, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Only God has the power to bring Satan down. Now, he may use people, he may use his angels, which he will, but how many, only God has the power to bring fallen angels and Satan down himself. Only God has that power. He may use, like I say, angels. He may use you and I to pray, but God only has that power to do it. Can you say amen? Amen. And so back in Revelation, those stars are coming down. They are falling to the earth. The Bible here says, praise the Lord. Now, go back to Revelation just a minute. I want to bring a few more things out here before we close. I got so much I can still yet go into, but look in chapter 12. You'll notice in verse 4, it's the tail that brings the stars down. Then, brethren, if you'll notice with me, in verse 14, that the church flees from the face of the serpent. Then in verse 15, it said the serpent cast out of his mouth water like a flood in order to destroy the church. What am I saying? This tail is against the church. The face of the serpent is against the church, and the mouth is against the church. Are you hearing me? The people of God. Now, I want to look at this mouth just a minute. Look in Revelation 13. I want to show you a couple of scriptures on the mouth. And you know, when Satan speaks, he speaks a lie. John 8:44 says. Now, in chapter 13, verse 5, there was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. His name is Tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. It was given him to make war with who? The saints. How many is a saint tonight? Sure. And to overcome them. But like Jack said last night, it was till the Ancient of Days came. How many know till Christ comes in a people, he's going to overcome a people. Till Christ comes in you and me, and we're going to stand up and overcome him. Power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and people. Now look in chapter 16. Look in chapter 16. Sometimes you get knocked down before you get up and overcome. Amen? Look in chapter 16, verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. These perverse spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are spirits of devils working what? Miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle to that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, false miracles are in the land. They're going to increase, and we better know the difference between the true and the false. Amen? Back in chapter 13, verse 11. Notice, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, the carnal realm. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He's got dragon breath. Out of his mouth, he is speaking like a dragon. Amen? So I'm here to tell you, the tail is against the church. The face is against the church, and the mouth is against the church. But how many know greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let God be true and every man and every demon a liar. Amen? God is with us tonight. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, he's raising up his son. So Rachel travailed, hallelujah, to bring forth Benjamin, the son of the right hand, that fruit. And God's moving on his church in this end time. To bring forth that man-child, those sons, those overcomers. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. It's not enough to just get up and teach it or just to hear it. I mean, no, we've got to experience it in our lives. We've got to cry out for Jesus. He is the one, hallelujah, that can do the work in us and through us. Can you say amen? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise him tonight. Amen? Let's magnify his name. Let's magnify his name. Let's magnify the name of Jesus. Sila brasandele brakuta tarabrasandele brakaya. Lord, bring forth this man-child. Bring forth your sons. Bring forth that fruit that you've longed for all these many, many, many years, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bring him forth, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring him forth. Help us, Lord. Help us to have more of Jesus. Help us to seek the Lord. Help us to put things out of our life, put things aside, to spend more time with the Lord. Lord, forgive us tonight for not spending time in your presence. We're not spending time in prayer. We're not spending time, Lord God, with you. Forgive us when we put other things ahead of you, Lord. Wash us and cleanse us tonight, we pray, Lord, by the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, the Lord has heard your cry, my son. The Lord has heard your prayer. And know that the Lord shall bring many changes into thy life. And know that which God has spoken, he will perform. That which God has said, he will do. That which God showed thee, he will yet perform. So rejoice, my son, this night, and know that your prayers have come up before me as a memorial. For I've heard and I've seen, saith the Lord. And know that thy feet shall walk in a straight pathway. I shall anoint them in this hour, for thou shalt be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And God shall open up a door before thee, my son. And when I said in my word, the door would open, there would be many adversaries. But know that I'm with thee. And I encourage you this night to let you know that I've heard your cry, and your cry has come up before me, and the answer's to come, my son. Rest in me, for in the ninth season I'll speak to you, and I'll show you things to come, because your heart has been opened to me. Praise him. Come on, praise the Lord tonight. Praise him tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just seal that to Brother Glenn. Just minister to him. Give him divine strength in his body. Lord, this man, your son, Lord, has worked, Lord, for the kingdom of God. And I just pray a double strength into him tonight. I pray you visit him, Lord, in his body tonight, that you would pour out your strength and power and anointing upon Brother Glenn in this hour. Oh, God, show him that which you'd like for him to see, God. Only that intimate thing that you have for him, Lord. Show him, Lord. Minister life to him and quicken him, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him tonight. Praise him tonight. Praise him tonight. Praise him tonight. Brother Doc, the Lord said there's an increase coming in your life. The Lord said there's coming an increase, and he's not just talking about the natural, but he's talking about spiritual things. And God said that he is your hope, and he is the open door as well for you. And the Lord said, I'm touching you and strengthening you tonight in the inner man. For as my word said, the word has said to you, Doc, that the Lord desires that you be filled with his fullness in the inner man. So be strengthened this night and know that God does touch your hearing, that God does touch your eyes, and God does touch your heart. For the hand of the Lord is reaching out to you this night. And know that my hand is not short, neither is it slack. But that which I've said, I will perform, for my hand is upon thee and over thee, and my covering is over thee, my son, walk humbly before me. And yea, thou shalt see an increase, for I say, I'm coming forth within thee. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want the man in the back, all the way in the back, back there. Would you raise your hand up? Sir? Yes, sir. Just keep it up. The Lord's reaching out to you with his bread, his word. And the Lord shall cause you to see and to hear in this hour. And the Lord says there's going to be some miracles performed in your life and in your and those round about thee. And the Lord said it will not be a power struggle, but it will be me, saith the Lord. So he said, rest in me and know that I have all things in my hand and that I'm moving in your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.